You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Sunday's edition of the podcast where we go live at 12:05 p.m. for the day's racing. We've got action on the flat at Hamilton, two National Hunt fixtures at Uttoxeter and Plumpton, two Irish cards to enjoy as well from Listowel and Gowran, and you hear every race live on Racing Radio with Mark Walton, James Millman and John Budden in the studio on Sunday. But ahead of all that, my name is Sam Norris and joining me on today's edition of the podcast is Rory Delaghi. How are you, Rory?
I'm not at all bad, Sam, thanks.
Good. It's a busy old day on Sunday, isn't it? Quite a few cards to go up.
And a little bit more focus on the jumping now as we're getting to that stage of the year. I always find that it's Arc Day that the things tend to change.
Yeah.
All the focus is on Longchamp, but I think there's always three jumps meetings in this country and no flat action at all, and that's almost the signal that everything's about to shift focus altogether.
Yeah, that's right. Are you a jumps man, Rory?
I am, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. I think I am too, so looking forward to a winter of jumping action. But we find you on today's podcast, Rory, in fine form. A 20-1 winner for yourself yesterday in the Naps table, shooting you back up to second after what is fair to say it had been a bit of a dry month before that. But what a way to get back on terms.
Yeah, it had been. I mean, that's my style, to be honest, on the tipping as a rule. There have been a few howlers in there, but generally speaking, I'm looking for exposed handicappers at decent prices, and obviously one of the issues of doing that is that sometimes your 14-1 shot overnight turns out to be a 5-1 shot on the day, and you struggle to make it pay that way. But August was good. There were three big price winners there, and then September had been fairly blank. My biggest cheer in the last 2 weeks was a non-runner a few days ago.
But the pound.
Hit the crossbar with 16-1 shot on Thursday, and then nice to get a big price one up in Go Far yesterday in the Bronze Cup. So hopefully. And that's a sign that we can do some damage in the silver and gold versions today.
Yeah, absolutely, because we're getting towards the home straight of the Naps table, of course. Ends on November the 7th. Talk us through the thinking behind the tip then. It was Go Far, the horse in question yesterday.
One of the angles I like best is just with exposed older handicappers, the notion is unless something's gone wrong with them, they should retain most of their old ability. So I like horses who've dropped down the handicap, who maybe haven't had things go their way. So I can find excuses for a horse running poorly two or three times, but know that it's become well handicapped in its old form, and I believe that it still retains that ability, then that's the kind of horse I look for. And Go Far won several times last year. He was narrowly beaten in the Portland handicap at Doncaster St. Ledger meeting, and he was a good £10, £12 lower than that this time around. He had a strange campaign this time. I thought he was running in odd races. His previous run had been on the all-weather at Kempton over 7 furlongs when he was held up and couldn't get competitive. I was adamant that wasn't liable to be his form. And prior to that, he'd finished third in the Stewart Sprint at Goodwood, which is a very good piece of form. And if he hadn't suddenly ducked right inside the final furlong, he'd have gone close to winning that race. So if you ignored a bad run over the wrong trip and on the wrong surface for him last time, then he was interesting. And his best form has come in well-run sprint handicaps. So I thought it looked likely that he would return to form. Trainer Alan Bailey always likes sending horses up with a chance and laying one out for this meeting, as a few trainers do. So a few boxes were ticked there, and he was 25-1 in the morning, and I thought that was far too big a price. I say in the morning, the day before, essentially, when I got to dig mine out as a rule. So it doesn't always work, obviously, but
yeah.
In this case, the price held up fairly well, and the logic worked. So
no, it's a decent strategy. You're certainly making it pay on the William Hill Naps table, as I say, Rory, into second place in that. We'll move on, though, to look at Sunday's action. As I say, National Hunt is the feature, really, of the day on Sunday. We've got three jumps races to look at and one on the level from Hamilton, chucked in for good measure. We'll start at Plumpton, though, with their 2 o'clock. This is a novice's hurdle. 2 mile and 1 furlong is the trip for this class four. 13 of them are declared to take their chance in it. And again, we've got one of these John Ferguson horses after a bit of a break that we've seen quite a few of already, Rory.
Yes, he's certainly an interesting one here in Mountain Fighter, and I expect him to be a reasonably short price favourite for this, for all there appear to be a number with chances. His last run, his hurdling debut, came at Fakenham in May, when he beats a horse called Altogether of Johnny Farrelly's, with the pair pulling a long way clear. Now, one of the horses in behind him, the horse who finished last of the five finishers, was Western Way of Don Cantillon's. Now, Western Way has gone on and won twice since then in handicaps, and looked a much improved horse. And I think people will look at that and go, well, he's beaten Western Way nearly 40 lengths. That looks like very good form. For me, although Mountain Fighter clearly has plenty of ability, and that form is something to be reasonably positive about, I think reading the form strictly according to how it's written in the book is dangerous. I think Western Way was fundamentally being prepared for handicaps, and has run much better since. And Creator, who was favourite that day, was back and forth. He's run quite well since. That didn't run much of a race. That stopped very quickly, as if something was wrong. And I think the bare form is something to be slightly wary of. Again, you don't want to be negative about a horse who's won that kind of race, and he's going to improve. But I think people looking at the collateral form may overrate it a little bit, and he could be too short in the betting. Always dangerous assuming these things, because, you know, often the betting doesn't reflect that. But I think he'll be a short price favourite, and if he is very short, then I'd want to take him on.
Okay, and who do you look to take him on with?
Well, the obvious one, and hopefully it'll be an each-way price, is a horse called Argo of Charlie Longston's. Failed to get his head in front last season, but ran well on the whole. Runner-up on his last three starts over hurdles, including when a short-priced favourite, and beaten by a horse of Alan King's called Winner Massago at Kempton. Now, again, you look at that and say, well, he had the best form going into that race, and he was disappointing on the day. The horse that won, Winner Massago, ran in a Grade 1 race next time out and was fancied by the Alan King yard. So that's much better form than it looks. He fell that day at entry, Winner Massago, but I thought he looked very good at Kempton. And I think I wouldn't take much away from Argo for getting beaten. He's been off the track for 5 months since, but that's almost a positive for Charlie Longston horses. He does exceptionally well in September, historically. His horses come to hand early, he gets them fit, he runs them in races they can win early in the season. The yard maybe struggles a little bit through the winter, but Charlie knows the best time to be campaigning horses of limited ability. And the fact that he puts cheek pieces on for the first time suggests the horse is fit and firing, ready to go. He may just be a little bit soft in a finish, but if Mountain Fighter is short, then you might even be able to have a sneaky each-way bet on Argo. And he looks almost certain to run his race, and as a result, should not be far away. His form entitles him to be favourite for this race, strictly speaking. But Mountain Fighter, because he's got a sexier profile, will almost certainly start a much shorter price.
Okay, then Argo could offer the value then in that 2 o'clock race at Plumpton for Rory. We'll go to the next one on the Plumpton card. This one comes up at 2:30. A handicap hurdle here over a mile and 7 furlongs. Seven of them will go down to contest this Class 3. And I suppose the two that jump off the page are a hat-trick seeking King Muro and Sleeping City. Can either of them get the hat-trick up?
It's very possible. The positives for them, obviously, is they arrive here in very good form, which one or two of these don't. The negatives being that as a result, they've gone up in the handicap quite quickly. The jumps handicapper tends to hammer winners fairly hard. And I think the key fact in this race is that if you ran this contest at the end of April, King Muro would have been getting £45 from Cool McCavity, whereas today he's getting 12. It's a £33 turnaround. And obviously, things have changed in the meantime. King Muro has hit form. He's won his last two at Bangor and Worcester. But in doing so, he's gone up absolute chunks in the weights. Another £8 rise for winning narrowly last time out. He did travel strongly. He does tend to do that in his races. And he has improved for Fergal O'Brien of late. He used to be a very hard puller who didn't get home in his races. Now that tendency to pull hard has looks more like strong travelling. The hood has helped him in his last few starts as well. And he's liable to go well, but I do think the handicap has been pretty harsh for that last win. And I would go, although he's not maybe the most trustworthy in the world, I think Cool McCavity is too well handicapped to ignore. He was well enough beaten at Stratford on his return from a break last time, but unusually at this time of year, Nicky Henderson's horse is looking very badly in need of a run. We normally expect Nicky, when he gets going, his horses can come back from a break and do themselves justice first time out. But that tends to be from November onwards. And the horses he's been running in August and September have looked quite backward. That was the case with Cole McCafferty when he was third to Broughton at Stratford last time out. I think he'd come on a fair bit from that run, and the handicap has been very kind in dropping him £4. So that, you know, that means that Cole McCafferty and King Muro are now sitting in very different places in the long handicap than they were a few months ago, and not an awful lot has changed. So from a purely value point of view, I think Cole McCafferty, normally I wouldn't be, I'd be looking to avoid Nicky Henderson horses this time of the year, but he's had a recent run. Handicappers dropped him for it, and people will look at the fact that he was disappointing last time out and maybe ignore him, and that's probably the wrong thing to do. I think he should be favourite for this.
Okay, Cole McCafferty gets the vote then in that 2:30 contest. One more from Plumpton then before we move over to Hamilton. This one is there, 4 o'clock. It's a handicap hurdle over an extended 3-mile trip. Again, we've got 7 runners for this class 3. And you mentioned Charlie Longson horses coming to the fore in September. We've got he's got a runner here in Kilfinchen Bay who's won 7 of his last 8 races, Rory. You don't get in much better heart than that, do you?
No, you don't. Clearly rising in the handicap all the time at Kilfinchen Bay. But there's no sign that the handicapper's got a hold of him yet. He's won at all types of tracks, Aintree, Market Race and Fossil Ask, Cartmel his last 4, and all of those are very different from each other. So it's not like he's been taking advantage of a liking for a certain track. Conditions to a degree, I think that he probably wants goodish ground or faster, but although the advance going for this meeting is good to soft, it's been a remarkably warm weekend, and I think the going may end up riding a little bit faster than that. He does have form in good to soft ground as well, and he's won in a range of conditions, but his most recent wins and his best performances have been on good to firm ground, so that'd be a marginal question mark if the ground was softer. But he's hard not to like. He has been off for 2 months since his last win, but with this yard, that's never a concern. Strictly speaking, Listen and Learn has chances of turning the tables with him. He was second to him at Fosse Lass in June and is better off at the weights. But where Charlie Longson's horses almost always arrive back from a 2-3 month break, fit as fleas, Jonjo O'Neill doesn't tend to be terribly hard on his horses at home, and anything that he has is coming back from a break often just needs the run. And with Patrick Cowley riding rather than Will Kennedy, who was on board last time, I just wonder whether Listen and Learn will need this run and could be one to back next time out. So Kilfinnigan Bay is the one I would favour there. On the bridge has chances on his best form, but it's become hard to predict these days. He was a winner at Worcester in the summer. The handicapper had dropped him to a lenient mark, but he was immediately up in the weights for that and was disappointing next time out. So it's difficult to know what to expect from him. Milestone is interesting. Has a good flat pedigree, and got it right in a maiden hurdle at Fosse Lass on his most recent start. That was over the best part of 3 miles. It was certainly an improvement in form from him, and he doesn't look terribly handicapped for his first start. Worry for me is the form of the Evan Williams yard. Again, another horse coming back from a few months off. Evan could be doing slightly better with his. He did have a good winner up at Perth in Court Minstrel. That's, you know, that horse wouldn't necessarily be typical of the yard. And again, I think Milestone, because he's got that unexposed profile, might end up being over bet a little bit. And the blindingly obvious horse in the race is Kilfinnigan Bay, who's going from strength to strength, and it's hard to knock a horse who's won 7 of his last 8.
Yeah, that's right. Kilfinnigan Bay then for Rory, number 2 on your race card there. In the 4 o'clock at Plumpton, we'll take in one then from Hamilton, one on the flat for good measure on this podcast. This one is a filly's handicap, 6 furlongs the trip here. 7 of them again are down to contest this. Who did you like?
Very trappy little race. Filly's handicaps wouldn't normally be my thing, I have to say, and I might prove the point here. But the obvious one, I suppose, is Eskrick, who she hasn't always looked entirely straightforward, but she's got to back together in her last couple of starts. She's a winner at Newcastle with Sylvester D'Souza taking over 2 starts ago, finding plenty for pressure, and then she probably should have won at Brighton the other day. When getting beaten 0.5 seconds to Heartsong, immediately in a bad position after a slow start. And that's a slight worry with her. She can start slowly in her races, but she flew home that day to be second to an in-form rival, and was unlucky not to win. Up £3 again for that, but she is improving, whereas most of these, the likes of Economic Crisis, Alexandra Kollontai, Pull the Plug, we've seen plenty of them. They are what they are. James Bowe's girl is really likeable and, of course, a distance winner. But again, from a yard that's just struggling for winners. The only winners David Barnes had in the last few weeks have been in maidens. And his horses, you would expect them to be doing better. given what a reliable yard his has been over the years. And it's been a very stop-start season for him. So I'd be against James Bowles Girl on that front. Lacing's very difficult to rule out for the informed Richard Fahey yard. She's been running in better races than this as well. So, you know, she's been keeping group and listed company earlier in the season. She might just outclass these. And I certainly wouldn't be ruling her out, given the yard does very well at the track as well. But Escrick just about gets the vote. If they go very fast here, then it brings Alexandra Kollontai into the equation as well. She runs almost all her best races here. She's suited by a stiff finish, but she's also particularly well suited by a race where they go hard and just stop in front. That helps her to catch them up. She tends to get outpaced over course and distance, but she's better than her last couple of runs suggest, and the handicappers finally cut her a bit of slack. She's been racing off marks in the 80s this season, down to 79 for this race, and that brings her into the equation as well. But all things considered, I would just about favour Escrick in what's a very difficult race.
Escrick then, the one for Rory in that 250 contest at Hamilton. If you just sum up, please, one more time, then your four selections for the action on Sunday.
In the 2 o'clock at Plumpton, I'm with Argo. The 2:30 at Plumpton, I have gone for Cool McCafferty. In the 4 o'clock at Plumpton, I am sticking with Kilfinican Bay. And finally, in the 2:50 at Hamilton, I am going for Escrick.
There we are. Lovely stuff. The thoughts of Rory De Laghi ahead of all the action on Sunday. Remember to tune in to William Hill Racing Radio, where you'll hear it all live from 12:05 p.m. in the company of Mark Walton, James Millman and John Budden. We're on the flat at Hamilton, 2 National Hunt fixtures at Uttoxeter and Plumpton, and 2 Irish cards from Listowel and Gowran. So a busy old Sunday, all things considered. So do join us for all of that. Thanks very much for joining me on the podcast today, Rory, and best of luck with the selections.
Thank you very much indeed.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.